This is not to be said from an egotistical or prideful standpoint, but you can look in the mirror and say, look at what a marvel. What a marvel. Right? And not reflect on who you, but reflect on God. You know, what a marvel. Because he said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hidden from thee when I was made or wrought in secret and intricately wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. And so what he's talking about here is in the womb, that when the egg and the sperm came together in the womb, that God, when you were working all these things out, that you did see my substance, yet being unformed. And in the book, all my members, or one translation says, all my days were written, which in continuous were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. And so God, when you were at the moment of conception, God had already determined whether you're going to be a male or a female. It was in the plan of God.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will continue his series, The Great Showdown, God versus Man. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of, did God create just male and female, or are there other types of gender identities?
God is the creator of gender. I was doing some research, and here's a report that came out in this journal, the New Atlantis. And they did a special report on sexuality and gender. And this was in fall of 2016. And you can go back online and you can pull up this report. And in this report, there were many findings. But two of the key findings in this report, the belief that a person is born with a gender identity different than what their body is not scientifically supported. That was the research. Now, again, you know, this is not, you know, some guys down on the corner, you know, doing a little survey. You know, these are the scholars that are researching this thing out. And this is the conclusion that they came to. And they also came to the conclusion that the belief that a person can be a man trapped in a woman's body or a woman trapped in a man's body is not supported by scientific evidence. So I'm not talking about the Bible right now. You know, I'm just talking about this is scientific evidence. And so when we look at this, you know, we come to one conclusion, and that is what? That God is the creator of gender. He is the one. It was God's idea that when God looked down through the recesses of time and he decided that he was going to create a world, he decided that he was going to create human beings, he said that in my ultimate plan, that I'm going to create a male and I'm going to create a female. So we see that God is the creator of gender. Secondly, God created two different genders. He created two different genders. Now, we're going to get a little deep on you, and I wanted to make sure I checked my facts with a doctor before I came up here, because I'm not a doctor. I just play one on TV. Cornerstone TV. But God created males with XY chromosomes and females with XX chromosomes. And those chromosomes determine the gender of a person. Plain and simple. Those chromosomes determine whether you want to be a man or whether you're going to be a woman, whether you're going to be a male or a female. Now, when we look at this, you know, you can do all that you want to do to change your appearance. But the fact of the matter is, is that if you have an XY chromosome, no matter what changes you went through, you are still a male. If you have an XX chromosome, no matter what changes you went through, you are still a female. And so, you know, people ask the question. I often get this when we get into these discussions, right? People ask the question, well, what about an individual that was born with male and female body parts? Then, you know, I just say, as I've been reading now, check the chromosomes. That will tell you what the individual is. So again, I didn't mean to get into a medical biology lesson this morning, but just wanted to show the fact that, you know, God, God created human beings. It says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so God, when he was fearfully, wonderfully making us, he either gave us an XY chromosome or he gave us an XX chromosome. That's it. And that determined whether you're going to be a male or a female. The two genders, according to God's plan, are to complement each other. God created two different genders because he wanted the two genders to complement each other. Well, how did you know that? All right, well, you know, I shared this the time before when I was doing the thing on marriage. But again, just think about the design of God. See, I'm not preaching this morning, I'm teaching. Right? I'm teaching. All right? That procreation. Why did God say to the man and the female, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth? And he created a male and a female. He created a male and a female to complement each other. He created a male and a female to bring forth his will. So the reason that we have this complementary creation is for procreation, to reproduce. The second is for socialization. God looked at Adam, and he said, it's not good that the man should be alone. And by no means am I trying to make light of this, and I'm not making light of it. But he didn't create another man. He created a woman. And he created the woman to complement his creation. He said, it's not good that this man that I created, he looked and he saw partners for everything else in creation except the man. And he said, it's not good for him to be alone. He said, let me create a help meet for him, somebody for him to fellowship with, somebody to come alongside and to help him with this. Again, now if you go back and you look at these verses, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Let me create somebody that's going to help him to do that. Help me to do it. And then, you know, again, last time I said this, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this part of it right here, but Proverbs 5, 15 through 19, you know, deals with the recreation part. And you can see in the scripture that the scripture says that it's recreation. The creation of the male and the female is recreation. All right, hurry up. Go ahead, pass that. All right. And then fourth is that genders are linked. And you know, I have to say, I don't totally understand this, but there's something to this, that genders are linked to the image of God that's ingrained in our being. Look what he said in the verse. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. In the image of God, a male. In the image of God, a female. That your maleness and femaleness is directly linked to the image of God. And so if we do anything to change that, then we have actually changed the image of God. Not saying that that image of God is not there, but that image of God has been changed. And so we need to realize that you can't mess with God's creation. The female is meant to reflect the image of God in a feminine way, and the male is meant to reflect the image of God in a masculine way. All right, so this was a hard one right here, but let me land this plane, and say this. I want to say this too, that we did a class earlier this year, or last year, on gender identity, and I just want to say this. Marie Franklin did a presentation where she talked about Jesus' response to the gender issue. And I can send that to you if you want that. Because, see, it's easy for me, and I don't have time to get into it this morning. But it's a powerful piece because it deals with the issues that I've been talking about. But it says, okay, as a Christian now, what should be our response? You know, and she looks at a couple situations in the life of Christ. You know, Jesus and the woman at the well, right? Jesus and the woman taken in adultery. And she looks at a couple of those situations, and how did Jesus respond? And see, it's very easy for us to come up into our ivory tower here on Sunday morning and to preach, you know, that male and female, that this is how God created it. But then it's another thing for us to go back out and then have to deal with the world. And we need to deal with the world in a way where people see the love of Christ. They need to look at us and not feel like, you know, we are just looking for a reason to beat them up. That we are not looking for a reason to beat them down. But we would love them the way that Jesus loved them. Man, when you look at Jesus, you know, he was patient. You know, he was loving. He was kind. He was, but he spoke the truth. But he spoke the truth. And so let us begin to say, okay, well, you know, Pastor Glaze, it's one thing for me to know what the Bible says about gender, but then it's another thing for me to live it out in such a way that God is glorified, to live it out in such a way where those I come in contact with, you know, there's enough tension, you know, between the church and people who are into other lifestyles. There's enough tension already, and we don't need to, you know, make it more tense by going out and preaching and condemning and putting down. That's not what God wants. That's not what God wants. And so, you know, we need to make sure that we are guarding our hearts. You know, Proverbs chapter 4, guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life, that the stuff, that the everyday life where the rubber meets the road comes out of our heart. And if we haven't conditioned our heart to be loving and to be kind and to be merciful, then we'll find ourselves being like the Pharisees, judgmental and condemning. And that's the last thing God wants. That's the last thing God wants. So I would encourage you, and like I said, I believe I have electronic. If I don't, I can get it from Marie. Or if she don't have it, I'll type it again so that you'll have it. But you want it was a wonderful presentation talking about Jesus' response to the gender identity issues. God's truth. God determines a person's gender before they are born. Jeremiah 1:5. I knew you while you were still in your mother's womb. That I already knew your gender, and I knew what you were going to be. But what does man say? Man says that I was created a male in a female's body or a female in a male's body. So again, we have taken the truth of God and what? Exchanged it. We have changed the truth of God. Gender is given at conception. Let's look at Psalm 139. I know I look at this passage a lot when it comes to these issues, but let's look at Psalm 139. Verse 13, for thou hast possessed my inward parts, and thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Now, this is not to be said from an egotistical or prideful standpoint, but you can look in the mirror and say, look at what a marvel. What a marvel. Right? And not reflect on who you, but reflect on God. You know, what a marvel. Because he said, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hidden from thee when I was made or wrought in secret and intricately wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. And so what he's talking about here is in the womb, that when the egg and the sperm came together in the womb, that God, when you were working all these things out, that you did see my substance, yet being unformed, and in the book, all my members, or one translation says, all my days were written, which in continuous were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. And so God, when you were at the moment of conception, God had already determined whether you're going to be a male or female. It was in the plan of God. But man has exchanged it and said that my sex was determined at birth, but my I determined my gender. That my sex was determined, whether I was going to be a man or a woman, was determined at birth, but I determine what my gender is going to be. So again, taking the truth of God and exchanging it. The body is the primary determinant of one's gender, and Jesus said that in Matthew 19:4. But what does man say? No, your body is not determined, but the way you feel, your emotions, your desires, and your impulses, those are the things that determine what your gender is. So we see that, again, the truth of God has been exchanged. God intends for males to grow into masculinity and females to grow into femininity. Proverbs 22:6. Now, Proverbs 22:6 is one of my pet peeve verses, all right? It's one, because I think but when you translate it, what Proverbs 22:6, because we want to claim it a lot of times, say, well, if I bring my kids up into church, and then whenever they might wander off, but eventually they'll come back. So that's the way we've taught it. Now, I think that, you know, we could hope that, wish that, but that's not what Proverbs 22:6 is saying. Proverbs 22:6 is saying that you should train up your child according to, and you go check the best commentaries and see if what I'm telling you is true. Train up your child according to their bend. Train up your child according to to his or her character. Train up your child according to his or her personality. That's what it's saying. Go back and study it. And again, I've said, I haven't had any takers yet. If you want me to, I said, I'll do a whole Sunday where I'll answer questions, right? Because I know I just messed up a lot of y'all's theology. I said, I'll answer questions. So yeah, I still haven't got any yet. So we still got another week before I start planning my sermon after next week's sermon. So you can email me. at Russell Boston, y'all. No, y'all know my PWR Glaze at AOL. All right. But Proverbs 22:6 says, train them up according to the bend. And so the bend is, if it's a male, that you train your child up according to the male bend. If it's a female, you train your child up according to the female bend. That God has already determined the gender. And it's up to the parent, according to Proverbs 22:6, is to train the child according to that bend. So I'm saying that it means more than just gender, but gender is one of the things implied in the training in Proverbs 22:6. But what does man do? Man exchanges it and says, as I grew, I became more aware of my gender. And, you know, an awareness came, you know, and so it wasn't the fact that I was trained up according to the bend, but, you know, I became aware that, you know, there was something else going on here. And then finally, the Word of God says that people should change their hearts and actions to conform to God's design. But we flipped the script, right? What have we done? We said that I'm changing my body to conform to what? How I feel. I'm changing my body to the way I think I should be. And so we have exchanged, according to Romans, we have exchanged the truth of God. So again, you know, this as we look at, you know, the subject this morning, you know, my objective here was twofold. Number one is to, you know, present what the Word of God says. And so hopefully I've done that and you understand what the Word of God says. And then secondly, to kind of, you know, give Christians a way to not allow society to overwhelm them and just sweep them up into, you know, that whole mold and into that whole movement that we would say, oh, wait a minute. You know, this is not what God says in His Word. And then thirdly, and even though I didn't have it in the notes or on the overhead, that as we address the issue, that we would do it with love and with grace. And so as we close today, you know, I just look at, you know, the issue, and I think for many of us, it hits close to home. And, you know, when you think about it, you know, we have to be ready and prepared to deal with it when it hits close to home. And we need to do it in a loving, in a gentle, in a biblical, in a restorative way. And I'm sure that, you know, as you sit there today, that maybe to some shape or form, that you were dealing with this situation. And so, you know, I just want to pray that God would just give us all wisdom to be, as Jesus said, to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. That we wouldn't just take our Bible and run over people, but we would, as Paul said, speak the truth in love.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Ravages of Sin from our series, The Great Showdown, God versus Man, from the book of Genesis. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, did God just create male and female, or are there other types of gender identities? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request. Did God create just male and female, or are there other types of gender identities? That's anchoredinjesus.org and request. Did God create just male and female, or are there other types of gender identities? Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. That's 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books, Find out more information about these resources by visiting anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.